text today comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we'll be looking at just a couple of verses, 15 through 20. If you've ever been to a presbytery meeting or synod, you're going to hear someone say, Matthew 18, Matthew 18, Matthew 18. Well, here we are. And, of course, God, through His providence, He has a sense of humor. It struck me this morning, of course, the title of the message is Church Discipline. And this is where we get our church discipline from the words of Jesus. And I can still hear my, being Father's Day, I can still hear my mother saying, wait till your father gets home. Because normally it is the father who is the disciplinarian at home, so... But hopefully we will find encouragement out of Jesus' words today. It is indeed humbling, and humbling indeed, as we have seen last together in Matthew, that we, the silly sheep, that we are the ones that think that we can save ourselves. If only I build my divine resume of church membership, attendance, bountiful giving, memorizing swaths of scripture... If I do these things, oh, God will certainly take notice of how wonderful I am. But the prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned, everyone, to his own way. Isaiah 53. Each of us fat, eating the empty foliage. Eyes focused on the ground, grazing, only to stumble and roll ourselves into the ditch or the bramble patch of thorns and thistles. And yes, I think I've mentioned it before, and those of you who have sheep, they get stuck on their backs sometimes. That's us. But it is the shepherd, the Bible tells us, that it is he, the Lord, who comes seeking in the mist. He comes seeking the lost at the will of his Father, whose divine will is not that they should perish. How humbling, then, how humbling it is that it is God who chose you. It is God who searched for you to pluck you as the brand from the burning. It was His mighty arm that snatched you from the mouth of the wolf and the bear. And so it is for each of us, beloved, those who are the lambs of the great shepherd's flock. Here, by Him, by His grace, His love, for the ground is level, friends, at the foot of the cross. And how, therefore, could any boast? This is what we're seeing in Matthew 18. How could any of us boast or dare fight or harm one another? But we, like sheep, do stray, especially when we take our gaze off of the shepherd. Well, what then? Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Lord, every week we do come to worship You in song, and we also come, Lord, to be fed again from Your word. And again, as I ask once again, that You prepare us, till our hearts, make it soft and fertile to receive Thy word and water it well with Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, picking up here, Jesus speaking in the 18th chapter, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Ben Franklin once famously said, and I know he's not the only one that spoke of the little leaks that sink big ships. And that observation is not far from what our Lord had warned us about previously. The corruption of the small things. That is, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 16. And the Apostle Paul continues with that in Galatians 5. For a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so too is it with the little things, the little sins like the stone in a runner's shoe. not only makes things uncomfortable, but possibly unravel the peace and prosperity of the work of the local church. And therefore, again, we turn verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. We again begin by looking at our Lord's instruction on how we are to handle conflict. We are to handle conflict, and there will be conflict. Because as humbling and thankful as we should be to even be counted as a part of the flock, there's the old man. There's the old flesh within you. That pride rises up from time to time, as I shared with the kids earlier. Note, beloved, also Jesus says, brother, here. Oh, yes, the truth of forgiveness, as we heard from the mouths of the kids earlier, forgiveness remains for us to show toward those even outside of the church worldwide. But I would argue that that threshold is a little bit lower. Jesus even gives us that permission. For as Paul even instructs us in 1 Corinthians 5, that we're not even to associate with those that are openly hostile and opposed to Christ. That is, that we do not have to put up with abuse. Jesus even says there's a time and a place to shake the dust off your sandals. But what about those within the fold? Those who do claim Christ as their Savior. Well, firstly, we need to determine that we've actually been sinned against. Because, yes, we have pride in ourselves as well. Someone may say something or do something that you don't like. It doesn't make them a sinner. It makes them a human. A good place to start, beloved, if it is a sin, is what your brother or sister done to you? Does it violate any of the Ten Commandments? If so, then yes, he or she has sinned against you. So then, if your brother sins against you, Jesus tells us, go and tell him his fault between you and he alone. Now, again, some offenses, especially even within the realm of the Ten Commandments there, some offenses may be so grievous and of public nature that you need to go somewhere else first. In cases serious, perhaps authorities, or may go directly to the leadership of the local church. But for the small slights and sins, how often do we go directly to our brother and sister? Isn't it funny that we don't go to them directly first? It's one of the last things that we think about. Everyone and their neighbor knows about it first before they ever do. And I'm guilty of that as well. Like I said, it goes back to pride. How dare she say that about me? How could he do that? Pride. Why do I say it's pride? Well, we feel awfully good about ourselves when we have a group of people feeling sorry for us, don't we? Now, there are times, again, even here, before you go to the person to seek wise counsel. It depends on the situation. But otherwise, we don't go to the person because we're too prideful. But Jesus says, "Hupege, go." And yes, your Bible should have an exclamation point after hupege, that is, go in the English, because that word is in the imperative. Why? Well, because like a wound, you don't want it to fester. The devil loves to work with festering wounds. Be angry and do not sin, Paul writes. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Ephesians 4. We will be visiting Paul's letter here in Ephesians a couple times today. But go to them. Go to them as soon as possible. Settle the score, if you will, as peaceably, and keep it between the two of you, lest gossip should take root. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Do not be Satan's bellows to blow hot the embers into a flame." Approach one another, therefore, with Christian gentleness and respect. For as I had said earlier, the same shed blood of Jesus that bought your soul is the same that saved your brother or sister. Be kind to one another, again from Paul, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4. Peter also says that love covers a multitude of sins. There is freedom in forgiveness. Jesus goes on, if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. This is why, again, it's key to go first and go direct. As I said to the kids, or maybe she or he didn't even know. They had no clue. Or maybe they were just having a bad day. And their pride, the same one that you fight against, flared up. And they needed that correction, that it should not happen again. And either if they had, at least knowingly, sinned against you, that not only do they need to be reconciled to you, but they need to be reconciled to the Lord as well. It is of note here, this is what Jesus is saying, that him listening to you is not just simply that he's receiving information from your heart, but that his heart be cut, from which, out of the heart, comes repentance, a turning away from sin and desired hope not to repeat it again. Like I said with the kids earlier, if it keeps going on, maybe that person isn't your friend. Dr. J. Adams, a former ARP minister, gone home with the Lord now, famous biblical counselor, stresses on this, that is at this junction that sin, of course, does not simply need to be brushed away, beloved. Oh, pass it off like it's no big deal, or even if someone comes to you asking for forgiveness of something, to simply blow it off, it's no big deal, for sin is serious and must be rectified. Hence the reason why Jesus keeps talking about cutting off hands and feet and eyes to keep you from tossing into hell. Sin is serious. Verse 16, but if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. It's only then, when there is no reconciliation, maybe a callous is formed on your brother's heart. And only then should the softening salve of two or three Christians go with you. For Moses says that a single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only the offense of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall be charged, or a charge be established, as from Deuteronomy 19. Again, these witnesses, like I said, need to be Christian. Obviously, preferably from the same congregation, the same family of believers. And it's here at this point, beloved, if you did not seek counsel earlier, that it should be sought now. The two or three brothers and sisters in Christ should help provide clarity to the situation, to serve as observers and perhaps a check against personal bias. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work. Jesus goes on, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, someone who's not even a believer. Now notice, friends, what our Lord here, he's giving grace. He's not kicking the person right out of the church for one fault, excommunicating them right out of the bat. There's an increasing level of censure here. If the leaven of pride and stubbornness has rooted and spread more than expected, and these two meetings, one private and one semi-private, fail to yield the fruit of the Spirit, he says that you need to take it further. Now, some churches take this Lord's command that the offender should be brought before the congregation in some sort of public forum of shame and shunning. I think about Hester Preen in The Scarlet Letter, to be paraded about, that the offender may be known. The problem, though, beloved, if it's coming to this point, an offending brother has not repented or listening up until this point, how will heaping ridicule help solve the situation? Rather, as it is in the ARP church, that if it comes to that level, the case be brought to the leaders of the church, specifically that of the elders. That's part of the role of an elder. That they, by the virtue of their office, are charged with maintaining Christ's desire for peace and unity of the church. They have the authority. Two or three, I am with you. That is, to act accordingly. The levels of discipline, and of course it depends if someone's holding an office or not, or simple rebuke. Suspension, like for example, keeping you from partaking in the Lord's Supper. Removal from office, should you be holding an office. Or lastly, excommunication. These are the levels of discipline within the ARP. Now note, all of these, again, are durational. They're durational, which is to say that the person remains in that state until they have been restored. Restoration, reconciliation, is always the goal. That the offending party also has, within our government, the ability to appeal to higher courts. So if they're brought under judgment, say for the session, the local church, he can appeal to the presbytery above, and then ultimately to the Senate. In fact, I think we were talking recently, even in our presbytery, even it's gone to court over certain issues. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Remember, beloved, these are Jesus' words. It's not mine. It's not the ARP's. It's then that excommunication may be needed. Remember Jesus' words of the leaven. Get the leaven out. Don't let it spread. Remember what Jesus said about cutting off your hand and your eye to keep from going to hell. It's serious nature. Excommunication is that the offending party has now refused to seek the peace and the prosperity upon the witnesses, multiple levels of witnesses from the church worldwide, and now is viewed as a non-believer. However, it is also to note that the officers in all of these courts, beloved, all those that are coming to this offender, they don't know the true heart of the offender. That is to say, whether they are saved or not, that is of the Lord. He goes on, verse 18, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." These words of Jesus should ring a bell for us, beloved, for these are the same words, almost verbatim, that Jesus told Peter, that's often been called the keys of the kingdom. And therefore, the heavenly keys are not just for one man or one office, but are reserved for the multiplicity, the plurality of elders, of believers. In our case, that would be elders. Those, again, who are seeking the peace and purity of Jesus' church in godly prayer and wisdom and reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Because they represent the authority of Jesus Christ and the bridegroom and the head of the church. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Sorry, folks, Jesus is not talking about prayer groups here. I had a beloved elder who has gone home to be with the Lord. He was a Marine, had a big old white beard, drove a Harley Davidson, and he would do a child evangelism fellowship at the local elementary school, pull up in his Harley. Oh, he was like a big grizzly bear, but he was a teddy bear is what he was. And he would swear up and down that two or three are gathered. This is about a prayer meeting. No, it can apply to a prayer meeting, but God tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's talking about the authority within the church. He also went on to say one time about the power of prayer, and there is certainly power of prayer, but prayer in a group. He said it was, I don't know where he got this theology from, he said it was like NASCAR. That as you go around praying, it creates a vortex. Jack McKinnon was his name. He was a godly man. Although he was wrong about this particular verse. But anyway, I think the Lord had mercy on him for there. So anyway, two or three are gathered in my name. There I am among them, because he has given the authority to those of whom he's placed over his church. As it is with every believer. Like I said, Jesus tells us, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's not going to leave you. Matthew 28. Which again, beloved, brings us back to the lost sheep. The man, the woman has been kicked out of the church. Jesus told us last time together in 18, the lost sheep. It's a reminder, beloved, that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is one. Our Lord speaks of the sheep and the goats. Sometimes they need to be separated. The Lord talks about the wheat and the tares. Sometimes they need to be separated. And we in our own sinful flesh, with the exception of what we can see from the fruits of the Spirit, what the Bible tells us, we make poor decipherers of those who are saved and those who are not. I can't see into your heart, but God knows. That again, we have to rely on Jesus. That's why church discipline matters. That's why I spoke about the responsibility of not just Christians, but specifically the under-shepherds, the elders leading the church. For only the Lord can condemn someone to hell. But Christ has set under him shepherds, under shepherds, to discipline and if need be exclude those into the outer darkness. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 talks about handing over a man to Satan that he may be rebuked and brought back. You see, that's, beloved, in the outer darkness. That's where God does his best work. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Like the prodigal son, the wandering sheep, it is he and he alone that brings them home through the heart. Church discipline is a tool to keep the peace and the purity of the local congregation, beloved. And the goal is always that of bringing them home. So go. Go to your brother. Go to your sister, seeking that reconciliation for the glory of God, your Father, and your good. For Paul warns us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Amen.